Here's the premise for the series that we're looking at. How do you get clarity for what God wants to do in your life? We all make these resolutions this time of the year. Those are our plans. Those are our desires. Those are things that we want to do. But how do you have a sense of clarity for what God wants to do in your life this year? And I'm not talking about having everything figured out, because we walk with God and our walk with God is a journey of faith. We know that. So we don't have everything figured out. But you never know what a year is going to bring. All that you do know is that a year brings good and bad, right? Every year brings that. Typically, what we do come this time of the year is we make attempts to start off the year on the right foot, and so we make these resolutions and we make our plans, and it's good. However, the scripture does remind us, like in Proverbs 19, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Another scripture says in Proverbs 16, we make our own plans, but the Lord decides where we will go. It's not that our plans mean nothing. That's not true. Our plans do mean something. But here's what it reminds us of that I think we have to understand, all of us have to understand. It's a fill-in on your notes. You want to write it down. God has a plan and a destination for your life this year. God has a plan and a destination for your life this year. Are you in tune with that? Are you open to where God wants to lead you this year? Do you have a sense of awareness? Do you have a sense of what God wants to do in your life? Because as Christ followers, another fill-in is this: we want God's desires for us to be greater than our plans. As Christ followers, we all have plans, but we want God's desires to be greater than our plans. So that means we've got to be open and we've got to be willing to let our plans go. We have to have a sense of clarity of what God wants to do in our lives. And a lot of times what we're so focused on our plans that we tend to miss God's plans. Or maybe what happens is we're so focused on our plans that we don't tune in to God's plans. And if we're not tuned into God's voice, then how do we get his direction? How do we have this sense of awareness of what God is doing? See, we're beginning this series, and the series is called 2020. And it's about having a sense of clarity in our lives. And four things that will give us a greater sense of clarity of what God wants to do in your life. Not just right now, not just when it comes to resolutions, but what is God preparing you to be and for you to do that's going to prepare you for this whole year of what God has in store for you. So as we begin, one of the hardest ones that we're looking at that brings a great sense of clarity is this sense of fasting that we're looking at. So I want to talk about fasting and how that affects us and how that gives us clarity. And I realize that this is not the most popular subject to be talking about, but I also realize this, that fasting is a powerful and necessary part of every Christ follower's lives. And I want to say that again so that we understand it. It may not be popular, but fasting is a powerful and important and necessary part of every Christ follower's life. So here's the thing. It's like when you're feeling spiritually apathetic or inconsistent, or maybe you feel stuck or dry, or maybe you feel like your prayers aren't being heard, or you can't be who God wants you to be. Maybe when you're going to be making an important decision this year, when you need a sense of greater faith in your life, or maybe you have an addiction in your life that you can't seem to break, this is where fasting really comes in and is so necessary and important for our lives. So we start with a definition, and that's this: voluntarily abstaining from food and or something for a period of time. Typically, biblical fasting is staying away from food. In our culture, we've kind of added more than food. We kind of take it outside of that and make it about social media and TV and other things. And we'll kind of look at that in a little bit. But here's what it is. It's a discipline that shifts our appetite from here to him. That's what fasting does. It shifts our appetite. It moves our desires and our appetites from this world to God himself. Another important issue about fasting is prayer is always a part of fasting. You can fast without prayer for physical results, and the physical results are great. But if you want something spiritual to come out of fasting, then prayer has to be a part of your fasting experience. So here's the goal of fasting. The goal of fasting is this: that we draw nearer or closer to God. That's the goal. It's that we as people, as individuals, draw nearer or closer to God. It gives us the ability to be more attentive to God. Biblical fasting has always been about eliminating distractions for a spiritual purpose. And it does give us that sense of clarity that our souls need that connects us to God in a greater way. So here's the thing. A fast is not something that we offer to God. It's a discipline of offering ourselves to God. So it's not just a service that we do that we say, you know what, I'm going to do this for God. It's about actually giving ourselves to God. It's a big difference. It's not a manipulative tool to get something from God or to show God, hey, God, listen, I'm really serious this time, so, and I'm doing this to show you how serious I am. Not a hunger strike, because in a hunger strike, hunger strike tries to get God to submit to our commands when fasting helps us submit to God's commands. See, fasting must be, first and foremost, an expression of our heart's longing for greater intimacy with God. That's where fasting has to begin. First and foremost, it has to be an expression of our heart's longing for greater intimacy with God, a desire that wants God to be first and more and most important in our lives. So the other part of this is this. For that to happen, fasting involves humility and repentance. It calls us to humble ourselves. It actually calls us to our knees, not just with the pains of hunger or the discomfort, as you would, of whatever it is that we're fasting, but it's about being dependent on God. And here's an important element about fasting that I think we tend to miss, and that's this. Fasting doesn't just change what we eat. It should change how we treat people. See, we can't just look at fasting as, you know, something that changes how we eat. It changes how we treat people. God says this in Isaiah 58. In fact, I recommend you read that chapter. It's a short chapter, but it really gives a great clarity on this. It says, this is the kind of fasting God says he wants, and that's free those who are wrongly imprisoned and lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. It's funny how God knows this, huh? Who are the people we hide from? Those that need our help, family. And yet he knows this and he says, listen, fasting is not just about abstaining from something. It is about indulging in something else too. It's a behavior that calls us to be different from the culture that we live in. All of us. I mean, you know, we all are a part of the culture to some degree, and yet the culture shouldn't be a part of us. The Bible talks about different fasts, and you can read these on your own. I put them in there just so that you could be aware of the different fasts the Bible talks about. There's a soul fast, and that is where people kind of they get involved in fasting, and they practice fasting. Maybe they have health issues, and they can't abstain from food, or maybe their faith is, they're new, and they don't know that they can do this, and it's their first try, and so a lot of times what people will do is they'll give up social media or TV or things like that, which is fine. But fasting is supposed to challenge us. It shouldn't be about what we want to do, or it shouldn't be about what we think we can do. It should be about what God is asking us to do. I just think that a lot of times many of us are willing to fast what is easy or convenient, what we think we can do, what's not going to cause us too many problems. But here's the thing that I want us to understand, all of us, the greater the fast, the greater the results. All through Scripture, you read about fasting, and you read about not just like little stuff. It's fasting. The greater the fast, the greater the results. Jesus fasted 40 days. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days. And because of his fasting, it resulted in his ministry. His ministry is a byproduct of that fasting. But fasting is a discipline of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. We see it, like I said, in Jesus' life. We see it in Paul's life. We see it in the disciples' life. We see it in the early church's life. And we're supposed to see it in our lives, and yet it tends to be a discipline that we don't see in our lives too much anymore. So I want to look at an encounter that Jesus has that he identifies some problems in the disciples' lives that I think might reflect our lives too. Maybe. I don't know. In fact, I know that it does. Maybe it's just my life. Maybe it's not your life. But you know what? Jesus identifies these two problems, and I think that it's typical for all of us. So a man approaches Jesus with a great need. And there's always a great need involved when people approach Jesus. And here's this man, and he comes in, the scripture says, a man approached Jesus and he knelt before him and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. And if I could just stop there, you know what? Nothing brings us to our knees like the needs of our kids, you know? Nothing. But can I say this as well? There is no prayer like the prayer of a parent. In fact, all of us are probably here where we are in our lives. I know that I personally am where I'm at in my life because of my parents' prayer. That's what parents do. There is no sacrifice that is too great for a parent. And here this man comes and he says, have mercy on my son. He says he has seizures and is suffering greatly, and he often falls into the fire or into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And first of all, Jesus had already given his disciples authority. He had already given them the ability to do what he was doing, to heal. He'd already given them that. But they were stumped because what they were asking for was not working. What they were trying to do was not working. And then Jesus says, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Now, Jesus uses two words here that might sound a bit harsh, but Jesus is identifying something that is harsh. It's two issues that I still believe exist today in us, probably. And the first one is this. When he says unbelieving, he says that they're not connected to God. Now listen, he's talking to the disciples, right? And he says unbelieving refers to their lack of connection with God. In other words, we can be disconnected from a faith-filled relationship with God and become doubters even as we are followers. Are we getting that? These are the disciples, and they don't have the faith to do what Jesus was telling them to do, what he had given them the authority to. Listen, maybe you're not aware of this either, but God, Jesus didn't just give this authority to his disciples. You are his disciple, and he gave the same authority to you. Maybe you might be going, hey, you know what, I can't do that. You might be in the same place the disciples were. It's not that we don't have a connection with God. It's just not strong enough to produce faith. Maybe you don't spend adequate time in prayer or reading the Word, and because of that, our connection with God is just not enough to fill us with the faith that we need. And so what basically happens is we're lacking. Jesus also used another word, not just unbelieving and our lack of connection to God. He says that they're perverse, which says they're too connected to this world. Not connected to God and too connected to this world. Sometimes we get involved in things that dilute and pollute our connection and our relationship with God. And throughout Scripture, we're told to be different from the world, to be set apart. Even like in James 1:27, it says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. See, sometimes we fit into this world rather than standing out from this world. Sometimes we blend in when we're not supposed to. I think we need to be reminded of this, that God's desire is that we are holy, which means set apart, which means separate, which means different, that we belong to him. And you read scriptures in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that you're a chosen people, you're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. That's speaking of us, to be set apart, called out from this world. All throughout scripture, all throughout the New Testament talks about it, even the Old Testament. So I think what we need to do is ask God, Lord, is there a place where I'm not connected enough to you? And then listen. God, is there something going on in my life where I'm not connected to you as I should be? Or maybe we need to ask, God, am I involved in anything that connects me too much to this world? Am I doing things that are polluting and diluting my heart and this relationship with you? And then we listen. See, look, Jesus doesn't just identify a problem here. He doesn't just point an accusing finger and say, hey, you're unbelieving and you're perverse. He gives a solution as well. It's in verse 19. So it says it this way, the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? In other words, they're embarrassed, right? They're humiliated. Here they've been given something to do and they can't do it. And they're like, so they go to Jesus in private and they're like, what is going on? Why come we can't do this? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. He says, truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Now remember, Jesus identifies the problems. He says, you're unbelieving and you're perverse. The solution is prayer and fasting. Jesus says that your faith is affected by these two things, prayer and fasting. Your faith is affected by unbelieving and being perverse. We have to understand that. We can't just say, oh, you know what? That's just the way that I am. No. It might be the way that you are, but that's not the way you're designed to be. It's not how God designed you to be. We need to look at the solution that Jesus gives. So what prayer does is prayer connects us to God. Remember, unbelieving is that we're not connected. We're disconnected from God. Prayer connects us to God. It brings us closer and changes our unbelieving hearts. In fact, the more time we spend with God, the greater our faith will grow. And the reason is the more time we spend with God, the more we get to know Him. It's not about putting our hours in by spending time with God. It's about wanting to be close to God. And I bet everyone here could use more prayer in your life. I know I could. I bet all of us could improve our prayer life. I know this and you do too. When my prayer life is strong, my faith in God is strong. But that wasn't the only problem. Remember, we need more faith. Sure, we do. So we need a better connection with God, and that happens with prayer. But the other problem is that we're perverse. We're too connected to this world. And here's the solution. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Fasting deals with our desires. The things, listen, you know, when we talk about fasting, here's what normally happens. And I've tried to talk to people, and here's what I get. Talk to people, hey, how are you doing with this fasting thing? Oh, you know what, I don't know. I don't know that I could do that. But you know what, here's what I'm going to do. They just kind of name something that they think they can do. It's great. Corey was telling me this morning about her daughter last week. They were talking about fasting. How old's your daughter? 8. So Corey's talking about her 8-year-old daughter, and her 8-year-old daughter says, Mom, I know what I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast my chores, right? That's kind of how we kind of approach this too. We're kind of like, hey, you know, what is it that I want to fast? It's not about that. It's not about putting our hours in. It's about being close to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. God simply wants us to disconnect from something that we currently see is important, or something that we see currently as being essential in our lives, for something that is really important, for something that is actually essential, and that's connecting with God. Connecting with God helps us to disconnect from this world. It's choosing not to do something for a season or for a period of time because it has become too important to us. And we have to watch ourselves. We have to intentionally disconnect from the world. Intentionally. It's our responsibility. It really is. I know a lot of times people will say, oh, you know what? I'll disconnect. I mean, there's stuff in my life, but I'm waiting for God to remove it. Years ago, a friend of mine, wise old man, he's dead now. Wise old man. I remember him saying, we were talking about addictions and things. He said, Dave, God will never deliver you from a friend. And it's just, that's always stuck with me. God will never deliver you from a friend. Because when we have these addictions in our lives, they become friends. They're the things we turn to. They're the things that give us strength. They're the things that we love, right? Whatever it might be. It doesn't mean that they're good for us. And God will never come in and step in to deliver us from something that we love. Because at some point, it's our responsibility to not love what God does not love. It's our responsibility. And so in this whole idea, we have to intentionally disconnect from the world. Romans 12 reminds us, don't be conformed to this world. 1 John says, do not love this world nor the things it offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So we need to remember that our problem tends to be a connection problem. Not connected to God, too connected to the world. And another thing that fasting does is fasting disconnects us from our desires. Fasting brings our appetites and our desires into submission so that they're pleasing to God. If we allow our appetites and our desires and our lust to have free reign in our lives, it'll cause us at some point to identify with this world rather than identify with God. They have to be dealt with. Paul made the statement where he says, you know, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So at some point, we have to deal with it. Our flesh, our will, our desires are at odds with God's spirit within us. And there's a constant conflict. And what happens is fasting weakens our fleshly desires and our emotions so that we can let God's Spirit lead us, where we're open to God. We need a sense of clarity. We all need a sense of clarity. And clarity happens when we stopped acting like this world. I said it before, but I encourage you to read Isaiah 58. See, clarity happens when we live the way God wants us to live, loving others. When we live in this world, but we're not of this world. When we actually live as citizens of heaven that God says our citizenship belongs to. And I think a lot of times, remember Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed, and he prayed for not just his disciples, but he prayed for all of us, that he said, I'm not going to remove them from the world, but that they would not be consumed by this world. And at some point, we've got to come to terms with that. At some point, we have to stop acting like the world and live as citizens of heaven. Clarity also happens when our heart has undivided loyalty, where there's no internal conflict, where we're not trying to live for God and at the same time trying to fit into this world, where we're not riding the fence, as it were, where we're saying, hey, look, God, I can do this. I can have a commitment to you, but I can also have my place and do what I want to do in this world. God says, no, you can't. But we have this tendency to ride the fence to show God, hey, I'm different. I can do this. I can have a commitment to the world and also have a commitment to you, God. And the truth is, you can't. God wants us to have an undivided loyalty for him. Now, the last one is clarity also that we need happens when we live for one audience, where there's absolutely no competition for who we live to please. We don't live to please ourselves. We don't live to please our appetites. We live to please God. And we love him because he loves us. We're dedicated to him because he's dedicated to us. We serve him because he's given us everything. See, our hearts have been freed by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. No longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we slaves to ourselves. No longer are we slaves to our desires and our appetites. No longer are we bound to this world. Actually, what Jesus did is he freed us. Not just freed us from the bonds of chains of sin, but he freed us from this identity that we would have to fit in a place where we're not supposed to fit in. You know, you're going to need clarity this year, because God has a purpose and a plan for your life this year. God's preparing you for what he has in store for you this year. Yeah, you can make your plans, but God's direction is what prevails. Are you open to what God is doing? Do you know what God's doing? Do you have a sense? Do you have an awareness and a clarity of what God is doing in your life? You have a connection that gives a sense of confidence and calmness in the storms that you might be facing, that God is with you and that he's giving you the faith that you need for all the challenges that you deal with. Just some practical steps I think will help. It helps all of us. First of all, set an objective. You have to have a purpose. Why are you fasting? What is the objective? Why are you fasting? What's your fasting? Remember, we have to be open. And so, what are you fasting for? And is that fast calling you to fast something great? Does it requiring faith that you need? Have you been praying about something year after year after year and nothing seems to happen? And here's this opportunity for a fast that maybe you might be afraid to take. I don't know if I can do this. Is there an addiction that you've been trying to break, but you can't? And here's this opportunity for a faith that breaks it. Set the objective. Believe God for specific things and specific needs in your life. Believe God for something great. Another step is decide what kind of fast you will do. Don't do what is easy. Don't do what you think you can do. Don't do what is convenient. Do what God is asking you to do. And I would even say, I've done it myself. Even today, I had somebody and I said, hey, I need you to check on me. I need you to check up on me because I'm doing a fast that's going to be difficult. And I need somebody to check up on me. I need somebody to be praying for me. Decide what kind of fast you're going to do and then expect results. The last one. Because faith expects God to act. It anticipates God's power to come through. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would and just hear me out as we close. I'm personally convinced, and I say this, you know, I say this, gosh, please, I'm not making this like I am have all the answers, because I don't, but I will say this. The greater the need in your life, the greater the fast. And the greater the need in your life, the greater the need for a fast in your life. And I just want to throw this out because I think it pertains to the story as well. And that is, we live in a very difficult time. We live in a difficult time, in a difficult age, and our kids have to go through some very difficult things in this life, and you know that. You know what they face. You know how the enemy is after our kids. And listen, if you're looking at your life and you're saying, I don't know what I need to fast, can I just suggest that maybe you might say, you know what, my kids are worth me fasting over. <laughs> 21 days of fasting for my kids is worth it. Because I'll tell you, nobody's going to pray for your kids like you. And your kids desperately need it. I know that's just a part of my fast that I'm doing. And there is nothing that's too much that I can't give up when I know how hard the enemy is battling and fighting for my kids. And I know he's fighting for yours as well. I just want to put that out there for you to consider. The greater the fast, the greater the results. Father, we come to you today just excited, anticipating great things, excited and anticipating your action, your activity in our lives, knowing that you're going to work, knowing that we're not in a place of manipulating, we're not in a place of moving you, we're in a place of allowing faith to rise up within us. Faith that has not existed. Faith that we need to follow you. Faith that we need for our kids, for this year, for the unknown. Father, speak to our hearts about what you're asking us to fast, and speak to our hearts about what you're wanting to do. Father, May we grow more connected to you. May we become more disconnected from this world. May we be believing. May we have faith that we need for the journey this year. Father, may your hand be upon us. And what seems to be impossible, what has seemed to be impossible, Father, this year, I ask that you would not only make it possible, but that you would complete it in our lives. Because faith, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.